What a day of rejoicing that will be, how we look forward to that. And our worship, even this morning, is just a small taste of that wonderful land that we'll enjoy forever and ever if we're in Christ and looking forward to our heavenly home. Thank you for being here this morning so that you might experience with us our worship to our God and a foretaste of glory divine. If you're visiting with us especially today, we're so glad that you can participate with us and enjoy this time together as we think about now God's Word. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus Christ spoke a parable to them in verse 1 that men ought always to pray. I want to talk with you this morning about developing a consistent prayer life. Jesus talks in that parable about a widow who was persistent. She continued to go to an unjust judge who was not so much inclined to grant her request, but he was so bothered by her, consistent and persistent coming to him to ask for justice, that he gave in and granted her what she was asking for. And Jesus says, listen to what the unjust judge has said. If he was willing to do that for this widow, think about God, who is not unjust, who is just, who loves his children, who wants justice for them. Will he not answer your prayers as well? But you must be persistent, as this widow was. The question Jesus asks at the end of all of that is, he says, nevertheless, in verse 8, the last part of it, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? The implication of the question is this: when the Son of Man returns, will he really find his people on their knees day after day, morning, noon, and evening, persisting in prayer, faithfully asking the Heavenly Father for things that concern them in their lives? Men, Jesus is teaching us, men ought always to pray. And always to pray till Jesus returns. The Bible is full of exhortations to those who are children of God to pray with persistency and consistency. Ephesians 6 and verse 18, praying always, Paul says. Romans 12 and verse 12, continuing steadfastly in prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Many Christians, even I think mature Christians, need to be more diligent in this area. That's nothing new. Paul is writing to Christians in Ephesians and in Romans and in 1 Thessalonians. We need to be encouraged to be better even than perhaps we are at being persistent in prayer. It is my belief that communication waters the grass of the greenest relationships. When husbands and wives are not getting along very well, usually they're not communicating very well. When parents and children are not getting along very well, they're not communicating very well. When God and His children are not getting along well, it's because we're not communicating. We're not listening to Him, and we're not talking to Him. We need to be talking to God. Prayers keep our relationship with Him vibrant, lush, and fresh. And so the question is, how can we develop this consistent, persistent, and sufficient prayer life? Consistent prayer requires an understanding of three things at least that we're going to just start with this morning. The first of them is that we are dependent upon our God. If you look back in the Psalms, in Psalm 65 and verse 2, David says, O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. God is the one who hears the prayers, and everybody comes to Him because everybody is dependent upon Him. All flesh comes to God because we all rely on Him for everything. Paul says in Acts chapter 17 on Mars Hill that in Him we live and move and have our being. We rely on Him for everything. We are completely dependent upon Him. And it's a realization of that, it's an understanding of that, that compels us to pray with consistency. We have in America so much wealth, so many comforts, so much in the way of luxury, that we imagine ourselves to be at times independent. We don't need anybody or anything. Our thinking is independent. We train our children in schools to think independently as long as they conform. Right? We want to be independent. We celebrate, think about what we celebrate in this country, Independence Day. Well, I know that's, you know, independence as a nation from Britain, but the concept of independence so prevalent in our culture. Christians, I think sometimes our prayer life's not consistent because we buy into independence instead of dependence. We don't really realize that in Him we live and move, have our being. That everything we are and have relies on Him. Dependence. The psalmist asked in Psalm 73 and verse 25, "Whom have I in heaven but You? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides You." God is all we have in heaven. He is the one to answer prayer. And so, the psalmist goes on to say, "My flesh and my heart fail. I can't make it on my own. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from Him, you shall perish." If you don't have God to support you, you don't have any support. God gives to us life, breath, and all things. We would do well to identify, I think, in our lives how much we are dependent upon God. And I want you to think even right now about your life. Not only do you rely upon Him for your breath, not only do you rely upon Him for your existence, but think about how many blessings in your life are there because God gave them to you. How many things that you enjoy in your life are there because every good gift comes down from the Father of lights, James says in James chapter 1. It all has come from Him. And you just need to spend some time thinking about how dependent upon God you are for everything you have. Consistent prayer requires this understanding of dependence. It requires then a desire to pray. You know what we do in life? Most all of us. Exactly what we want. That's what we do. We do what we desire to do. If our lives are not marked by prayer, if we're not consistent in our prayer life, can I just tell you something this morning? If you're not consistent in your prayer life, it is not because you don't have the time. You have exactly as much time as everybody else has. So that can't be an excuse. That can't be a reason. It's not because you don't have the time. If you're not consistent in your prayer life, it's not because you're too busy. It's not even because you don't know how to pray. If you're not consistent in your prayer life, the reason you're not consistent in your prayer life is because you don't want to be. And when you want to be, you will be, because you do exactly what you want. Don't you? We all do. What the Bible would have us understand is that this desire to pray comes out of what we talked about first, that dependence upon God. We want to because we realize how dependent we are. And with that attitude of mind, we'll be like the apostles who came to the Lord and said, "Lord, teach us to pray. We want to learn how to do it." And I'm excited, really, this year as we've been talking about prayer at least once a month in one of our sermons, and this is at least one of this month's sermons on prayer. The elders asked me to think about doing this year, and I'm excited about it. And I think what they envision, what I envision, is a church that is so caught up in prayer and so empowered by prayer, and that catching on and being contagious among us, that we are empowered to do all the works that God would have us to do in our lives, come what may. There's a beautiful passage, and it's one maybe that we haven't focused on a lot in talking about prayer, but I want you to go back to Zechariah chapter 8. I want to read verses 21, 22, and 23 to you. Zechariah, now that's in what we call the Old Bible. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 21. Listen to this. And I think it's a prophecy about the Messiah's kingdom, about the church. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, "Let us continue to go to pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will go also. Yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from every language of the nation shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, 'Let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you.'" And the idea that's being pictured there is one of prayer being contagious and people realizing that somebody has access to God, somebody is devoted to prayer in their lives, and they want that too. And they want that too. They want to experience what someone else has in their life, an access to God in heaven. Prayer is this great gift of communicating with God. Think about that. We can talk to the Almighty about our problems, about our concerns, in thanksgiving. And when you see someone who can talk to the Almighty and how that changes their life, you want it too. It becomes contagious. The third thing that we really need to focus on, and what we'll spend the rest of our lesson tonight, this morning, talking about, is the point of discipline. Realizing your dependence upon God and developing a desire to pray to Him with regularity means that I'm going to figure out a way to do that. And I'm going to make myself do that. Consistent prayer cannot be maintained apart from self-discipline. You have to make prayer a priority. You have to make a prayer plan. When are you going to do it? Guard that time. For whom will you pray? What will you pray about? Where will you pray? When will you pray? These are crucial questions that each person has to answer to grow in both quality and quantity of prayer time. So what we're going to do in the rest of our lesson this morning is spend some time looking at great Bible characters who had tremendous prayer lives and notice some of the secrets we can glean from what they did. I want you to think about men like Daniel and David as we consider keys to consistency from extraordinary examples of persistence in prayer. If you go back to Daniel chapter 6, we know the story, and I use this story a lot when I'm talking about prayer, to show what persistence in prayer and dedication to prayer looks like in a man's life. Daniel, of course, was among those who were taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar as a very young man. We're introduced to that in Daniel chapter 1. By the time you get over to Daniel chapter 6, Nebuchadnezzar's long gone. His son Belshazzar has lost the kingdom to the Medes and Persians. Darius now is reigning. And so 70 years essentially have passed, maybe longer. Daniel has gone from being a very young man to being a very old man, probably pushing 90, if not beyond, when you're looking at Daniel chapter 6. And we know the story. People are jealous of him because in him is an excellent spirit. And the king is thinking about appointing Daniel as a governor over the whole realm. And the other governors and the satraps are jealous about that. And so they sort of trick the king into citing this decree that if anybody prays to anybody but the king for 30 days, they're going to be thrown into the lion's den. So you pick up the story, again, one familiar to us in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, when he knew the edict had been made, the law had been written, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day. three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Daniel had been praying three times a day for 70 years. Nobody, no law, no thing that came up is going to stop Daniel from praying. And we have trouble praying three times a day for a week. 7 days, let alone 70 years. It takes discipline to do that. You see how that looks like in the life of a man? Just determined. He's not going to let anything keep him from that. We can't either. That has to be our mindset. Doesn't matter what comes up. Doesn't matter what people might think or do to us or whatever. That has to be the mindset. David must have had that same sort of mindset when in Psalm 55 and verse 17, he says, "Evening and morning and noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." There's determination there. There's a daily discipline. Paul mentions the same thing. He talks about praying night and day. 1 Thessalonians 3:10, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. Great example of praying through daily discipline. Schedule a regular prayer time. Would you do that? Three times a day would be a good time to start. It would be a good way to start. Schedule a regular prayer time. Stick to that. Three times a day, no matter what. That's what these men did. And then you've got a man by the name of Nehemiah who teaches us a lot about prayer as well, I think. And we think about Nehemiah as being somebody who was a hard worker and a great leader, encouraging others to work, and certainly he was all of that. But Nehemiah teaches us so much about prayer in his life. When the book of Nehemiah opens in Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah is in Shushan. He is serving the king. And he gets news back from Judah and Jerusalem, from some people who've gone there and come back. And he asks them concerning how the Jews were doing back in the homeland. And the report he gets isn't really very good. It concerns him. In fact, it says in verse 3 that the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So that's the report that Nehemiah gets. And here's how it affects him. In verse 4, it says, "So it was, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven." Something comes up in our lives, we get some bad news. What do we do? Number one, we worry about it. Number two, we call friends, neighbors, family and say, "What are we going to do about this?" Number three, we worry about it some more. That's how we handle problems, right? What did Daniel do? What did Nehemiah do? I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to pray about it right now. I'm going to pray about it long and hard. If I need to fast along with this to help me concentrate, to help me get my focus, keep my mind on what it needs to be, that's what I'm going to do too. Fasting and praying for many days about this thing that concerned him. That needs to be our first impulse. When in any moment in our lives something comes up, the first impulse needs to be to pray about it. And just keep on praying about it. That's what you see with Nehemiah. And you see it really very consistently in his life. A couple of months later, he's before the king, King Artaxerxes. He's serving him. Chapter 2, Nehemiah looks sad before the king. And the king wonders why. And asks him, why is he sad? And Nehemiah, at the end of verse 2 and chapter 2, tells us, "I became dreadfully afraid. And I said to the king, 'May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire?' And the king said to me, 'What do you request?' And Nehemiah says, "So I prayed to the God of heaven." In that moment of time, Nehemiah realizes he's standing before a great and mighty king. He's about to ask this king for something that he's really concerned about, that's been on his heart and mind now for a long time. He's been praying to God about it. And now he prays yet again, right in this moment of time. He makes a prayer to God in his heart. And then he makes his request to the king. Here's somebody who's devoted to prayer. Nehemiah prays in time of need, in that moment. We need to pray in the moment of need. When things are coming up. Later on in Nehemiah chapter 4, people give Nehemiah and the workers who are trying to build the wall, they give him grief, they despise them, they make fun of them. And Nehemiah's first reaction to that, you know, ours would be when we're being made fun of, what do we want to do? Go punch somebody in the mouth or tell somebody off or something like that. You know what Nehemiah's reaction to being ridiculed was? Pray to God. They ridiculed him. Verse 4 says, "Hear, O God, for we are despised." He prays. They threaten him. You know what his response to that is? He prays. Every moment when things come up in Nehemiah's life, pray in the moment of need. Think about the Apostle Paul. One of the secrets to praying consistently is to pray people. Think of people in your life. Keep a list of names of people to pray for. Paul consistently prayed with specific people in mind, both churches and individuals. Paul was somebody who is equally focused on prayer. Do you realize in all of the epistles that Paul wrote, prayer is mentioned in every one of them, in every one of his epistles. Paul consistently prayed and requested that others do so as well. Notice really quickly some of these passages, and I'll just read through them quickly. You might jot them down and look at them later. Romans 1 and verse 9, "God is my witness, whom I serve with my Spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." A couple of things to notice. Without ceasing, making mention of you, specifically to the Romans, in his prayers. Colossians 1 and verse 3, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." He's always praying, and on behalf of the Colossians particularly. Philippians 1 and verse 4, "Always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy." 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 2, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, "We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, as is fitting." Philemon, verses 4 and 5, he tells Philemon, "I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers." Boy, he sure made mention of a lot of people in his prayers, didn't he? Either one of two things is true. Paul had a memory that's a lot better than mine, which almost certainly he did. Or he had a long list of people to pray for that he kept with him to remember all those names. There's nothing wrong with keeping a list, making a list of people and their problems perhaps that you want to pray about, or what they've meant to you and done in your life that you want to be thankful to God for. And pray that consistently. Paul's prayers included always supplications, begging God, intercessions, going to God on behalf of others, and thanksgiving for people. He exhorts us to pray in the same way. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Listen to what he tells Timothy. You know this. "Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." In Ephesians 6 and verse 18, he commands us that we're to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance for all the saints. Watchful. All perseverance. all the saints, praying always. Paul prays for people. He wants us to do the same. You may ask, well, where can I get such a list of people to pray for? One of the things that we're really fortunate here at Eastside to have is all kinds of different ways that we can stay updated on what's going on in the lives of Christians here and those associated with this congregation. So we have the Eastsiders email list, and if you have email, you can get that if you're associated with this congregation. Eastsiders prayer list, which goes out now regularly, which has a list of people who've requested prayer or who need prayer. It comes every day in your email if you have email. It wouldn't hurt to get the bulletin, long list of people in need of prayer. In the bulletin, you can pray those names every day. Or, it really wouldn't hurt to get out the church directory, and I've done this before. Did it not too long ago. Get out the church directory, go through every name. What do I know about this person? What can I pray? Do they have a need I can pray for? What can I thank God for about this person? Think of family, think of friends, think of co-workers whose lives you touch. And ask yourself this, what could God do for them? Then, ask Him to do it. Paul prayed for people. Keep a list of names in your mind, on a sheet, on your computer. Keep a list of names of people to pray for. Lastly, this morning, greatest example of prayer in the Scripture is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the only thing I want to observe about His prayer life this morning, there's much that could be said, was that Jesus took time to pray. You can read the account in Luke chapter 5 and verse 15 that the report went around concerning Jesus all the more. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by Him of their infirmities. Can you even visualize, possibly imagine, anybody on earth who has ever been busier than the Son of God must have been? Here performing these miracles and people just thronging to Him wherever He went that they might see a miracle or have their needs met as well, hear His teaching, just crowds around Him all of the time. He couldn't hardly get a moment's peace. Can you imagine anybody who's ever lived being busier? And the text says in the next verse, so He Himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Instead of being too busy to pray, He was too busy not to. Read an autobiographical sketch of an old pioneer preacher one time who was telling about his schedule for a given day. He was going to have to get on his horse and ride so many miles to a certain town and preach and then go from there to another town and preach. And it was just going to be a long, long, long day. And he was going to have to get up at whatever it was, I forget, 5:30 in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, in order to make this schedule and get all of this traveling and preaching done this day. And so he said, well, what I did was I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning and prayed for an hour. Instead of being too busy to pray, I was too busy not to. We need God. We need to see our dependence on God. We need a desire to talk to Him. We need to discipline ourselves to pray. Will you do that? Let's let it be contagious here at Eastside. Prayer. Daily. Discipline. Effective and fervent. Thank you for your good attention. This morning I could be talking to somebody who doesn't enjoy not only a consistent prayer life, but any prayer life. And I want to tell you that if you're outside of Christ, it's not possible for you to have much of a prayer life. God likes to listen to His children. Are you a child of His this morning? And when Jesus taught us to pray, the first thing He said, pray our Father. You need to have God as your Father. You need to be His child. If you're not a child of God, you can become one today. Believe Him. Be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Not only can you have access then directly to God the Father, but so many blessings in your life will come. And as we sang before the lesson, heaven itself will be the reward. If that's what you want, we'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.